afternoon. How time flies. This morning's sermon in our church core values series, as you see on the wall, continues looking at this vital subject of prayer. And we are hearing God speak to us as we seek to strengthen our personal and our church roots in Him. And I pray that He continues to do that this morning for you as well. This week, the starter for our gas cooker was only intermittently working. And it made me think that perhaps that's what prayer can be like in our lives and even as a church at times. Something that is intermittent or maybe misfiring, but not achieving its full purpose, its proper purpose. But what a difference it will make for us personally and corporately to see prayer fired up, restored to its full power, to see God at work in a special way. Because as we've heard already from Andy, we cannot do anything without prayer and the power of God. I've been really blessed by these studies and talks already, and it's been really encouraging to hear from people just how helpful and challenging the series is proving to be already. And we've still got a lot to cover. And I would encourage you that if you sense God speaking to you, please let us know so that we can pray for you and know that God is speaking as we meet together week by week. It was encouraging to hear from Kirsty as she came in this morning. The first thing she said to me was, "The church and Lewis are praying for us as a church this morning." And that's kind of the direction that we're going to be heading in today. But our specific focus this morning is on intercessory prayer. And I'm pretty sure it's a subject I've never heard spoken specifically from in church. And it's not a word that is used that often today. If I asked you if you knew what intercessory prayer was and if you'd prayed one, I wonder what you'd say. So maybe best just to start with a simple question. What is intercessory prayer? Now, I'm pretty sure we've all done it. You may not even realize that what you've been doing is intercessory prayer, but in its simplest form, it is about praying on behalf of others. So in recent weeks, we've had someone praying an intercessory prayer during the service, a prayer that thinks about the church and our wider community and the world, and we'll come back to that later on. The Bible has plenty to say on this subject, and we'll dip in to some of these verses and stories as we go through. And intercession is also a spiritual gift. It's something that all Christians are called to do, but there's also this specific spiritual gift, and we'll unpack a little bit of that later too. So the next question is, why should we be intercessors? And the first place to start is because God and Trinity is constantly involved in intercession. In Romans 8, we read in verse 26 and 27, "We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." And in verse 33, we read, "Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us." And so His Spirit intercedes for us on earth, perfecting our prayers, presenting them to God. And Jesus intercedes for you and for me in heaven, if we're believers, as our ambassadors before God. Ultimately, true intercessory prayer is all about God, about looking to Him, about relying on Him, about trusting for His will to be done. And so if it's important for God, it should be important for us. Oswald Chambers, the great Christian author, said, "The real business of your life is intercessory prayer. Prayer is the great work," he says. Sometimes prayer is a little added extra in our life. Sometimes it's completely missing. But we have to remember this truth, that it is the real business of your life as a saved soul. As we just read there, sometimes we can't find the words to pray. Sometimes situations are too difficult, and the Holy Spirit comes and presents our groans to God. I know a young family in Edinburgh from Bellevue Church who work with the 20 schemes, and last week the young mother took her own life, leaving her husband and young children. And as James was telling me, I wasn't at home group last week, but Dan from the church, his colleague, was there at the scene, and they were absolutely broken in the police station as well. A terrible thing to happen. What can he pray? What can you say? I'd ask you to pray for him, particularly pray for Paul at this devastating time. But God, by his Spirit, understands the darkest pain of life and in our groans intercedes for us to present our deepest hurts to him. Our intercessory prayers cause us to be outward looking and to think about others. It's so easy to be caught up with our own needs and requests and work and families and busy lives and not to think about others. And that's why we started doing intercessory prayers in church, because the danger can be that we sit here and it's all about us, and it's all about us worshipping and us praying and about God, and it is, but it's much wider than that. We are part of something far greater. These prayers help us not to become too insular, to turn away from ourselves on a Sunday morning and to consider God's wider world. Intercessory prayer is also a way of us showing our love for others. We're going to do that just now. James is going to come and bring a prayer for us, fresh from passing his driving test. Well done, James. A full morning for him, but we appreciate your help. And if you could pray now, thanks.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we as a church want to thank you for the God that you are, who loves us and cares for us and demonstrated that by sending your Son to be the sacrifice for our sins and bring us into restored relationship with you. We come before you as your children and pray for the needs within the world. In particular, we want to pray for great wisdom for those in leadership within the world and that you would influence decision making that affects how we live. At this time of political crisis in the UK, we pray that politicians would show wisdom and restraint in how they deal with each other and as they seek to find a solution to the difficulties we are faced with. We pray once again for the residents of the Bahamas who have been affected by the recent hurricane and ask that the aid and relief that is on offer would help them get their lives back together again. Thank you for placing our church within this community, a community that has a variety of different lifestyles and needs, and we pray that the good news of the gospel would impact the lives of those who live and work around this area. In particular, we pray for those in authority, the police, local councillors, teachers, and people working for the emergency and health services, and we pray that they would work in a fair and honest way to look after the needs of our community. We also pray for Alison Henderson and our close links with our local primary school. We ask that there would be a continued open door for this Christian influence with children and families in the Kilniston area. We want to thank you for this church and for the journey you've placed us all in for the last 12 years. We pray that you protect this family we have and that we all grow in our friendships and faith together. We pray for our staff team, that they would be kept well and protected from attacks from the devil, and that they may be able to help us all seek to be your witnesses. We pray for those who are or have recently been unwell, and we ask that you would be close to them and bear them up in your everlasting arms as they go through challenging times. We pray that as we listen to the preaching of your word, that would have a real impact in our lives so that those around the world would see the difference that Jesus makes for us. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
It's wonderful to hear our young people praying. Thanks for that, James. So God, by the Trinity, is always involved in interceding. And secondly, God wants us to intercede for others. In the book of Ezekiel, there's a call from God for someone to stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land. And in 1 Timothy 2, we read, "First of all, then, I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanks be offered on behalf of all people." And I read this week that prayer can feel like a butterfly confronting a cliff. We can feel so powerless and insignificant. But that is not the truth, because prayer makes a difference and prayer changes things. And God longs to hear our prayers. There are many examples of this in Scripture. Jesus himself prayed for us, for you and for me. David prayed for his people and Nehemiah. The Old Testament gives us at least two examples I want to mention from the life of Moses of dramatic intercession. We read how he sent Joshua out to lead the army on the battlefield and stood on the mountain watching with his hands, with his arms raised to heaven, praying for victory for them. And later on, after the people had made a golden calf and God was going to destroy them, Moses pleads to God to spare them from his terrible judgment. He says, "Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people." And it says, and finally God relented and the people were spared. Intercessory prayer makes a difference. I've been reminded recently, I mentioned to a couple of people this film called Sliding Doors, in which a woman makes a choice one day and the film then splits into two different stories following the outcomes if she had made the choice and if she'd not made the choice. It made me think that this is what the Christian's prayer life can be like. We can go through the day ourselves, living in our own strength, just thinking about what we're doing without a thought of God, or we can walk and pray in his ways. And probably for us, the reality is that most of us just drift at times into God's way of living for short times, but more often we can go our own way. That's our default, to use our own strength and abilities. But if we choose to walk in his ways, every outcome of our day will be the right one. Our choices and decisions, the way we interact with others, will be the best ones because we are prayerful people who rely on him and listen to him. He will lead us to pray for others. He'll put people and situations on our hearts to bring to him. And in all of what could have been a routine day, God will be glorified. Why would we want to settle for anything less than God's best for our lives and to bring his power into the lives of others through prayer? As Clive reminded us last week, the Christian life is not a spiritual retreat. We are in a war zone. Why does the devil invest so much effort and time to discourage and distract us from prayer? Why is prayer one of the most difficult things for a Christian to do? Because the devil fears the prayers of God's people. Because he knows that prayer makes a difference and they defeat his plans. So our next point is because prayer overcomes the devil and his power. Ephesians 6 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I read a dramatic story recently of a Christian man in London who was going in for a meeting and he arrived very early. And as he was there, he suddenly considered the terrorist attack that had taken place and had an unexpected and overwhelming sense of impending danger, and that he needed to pray and to intercede for those around him. And he walked around for an hour, praying for the safety of the crowds that he passed, for the people in the buildings around. And at 7:30 in the morning, he stopped praying and went into a cafe. And 7 minutes later, where he'd been standing on the bridge, a terrorist in a car drove into some cyclists and pedestrians where he'd been. Thankfully, this incident killed no one. Three people were mildly injured but received immediate assistance because the nearest vehicle was an ambulance. But more significantly, as we think of what goes on in the spiritual realms, CCTV revealed that for the previous hour before the attack, the car had been driving round that same loop where this Christian man had been walking and praying, a spiritual war zone. And at the same time, his wife had woken up very early, as she would not normally do, and had a sense from God to pray particularly for her husband on his walk to work. God was moving by his Spirit. We have to acknowledge that things don't always happen like this, but God is sovereign. And these are dramatic examples, but God can take us by surprise when we listen to him and follow his leading. The Bible lists intercession as a spiritual gift. It's something that all Christians should do, but there's also a special gift of intercession. And as we did the course of looking at what our spiritual gifts were in the home groups, it was identified for Gavin in our group that it was one of his gifts. He recognized that. And last time I was coming up to speak, I was really struggling with my throat, and Gavin approached me at the back and asked if he could pray for me. And then just before I went up, I heard that little May had fallen down the stairs, was going to hospital. And in the midst of all of that, I had a real sense of prayer as I spoke, and I was grateful for that prayer. And last night I was talking to him about what this gift of intercession looks like, and he was explaining that for some people, it's worship that helps to bring you into the presence of God. And for other people, it's the word of God. But for Gavin, he was sharing how it is that sense of intercession for others. And it's just a natural part of daily life. We've been reminded why we should pray as intercessors. The Trinity is constantly involved in intercession. God wants us to be intercessors. And lastly, intercession overcomes the devil and his plans. And as we consider what intercessory prayer means in practice, the last section headline is look out. Look out, first of all, to the needs of others. And what does that look like in practice for me? It means consciously making time to consider others. It's a mindset, a change of mindset. Beyond praying for my family and working through the church list and ask people by text if there's something that I can pray for, the beauty of doing it by text is that you've got something you can look back on to remember and to keep praying or to see God answering those prayers. Often people will say, that was just at the right time, because God's timing is always best. It doesn't take a lot, but it means a lot. And we can all do it. We all have challenges in our lives. But unless you ask someone what to pray for, it's probably unlikely that you'll ever know. And there's been many unexpected things that have come up that people have asked me to pray for. And beyond that, for me, it's being aware of who God brings to mind by his Spirit. Gavin was saying that sometimes just waking up in the night with a name from God, someone specific to pray for, and perhaps not even knowing the situation. And also remembering existing and ongoing needs that I know about. I told you before about a woman I knew who became a Christian, and how she said to me she could not imagine her husband becoming a Christian. That just seemed beyond any possibility. And I thought, how can that be? And I have to be honest and say that probably in recent years, I have also found myself to be in that place, and find that often those closest to us are the hardest to pray for. We don't see any evidence, outward evidence of spiritual life or interest. There seems very little opportunity to share. But we have to keep on praying for salvation. And I was really encouraged as I read about D.L. Moody, who in his life, he was a famous Christian songwriter, had a list of 100 people who were not Christians that he was praying for. And every time they became Christians, he would score them out and give thanks. And when he died, 96 of these people had come to faith. Amazing. And some of you may well be sitting there and thinking, what about the other four? The other four became Christians at his funeral. God was at work. And that really was an inspiration and an encouragement for me to keep going. And I hope it will also be for you. Dashka is a member of the church here who is a great encouragement and a woman of prayer and a woman who hates to be in the spotlight. but I've asked her to come and share just a little bit about what prayer looks like to her in her day-to-day life. Thank you very much. Does it get easier the second time?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate all your encouragement over the years, personally, for me, and I know that you are a person of prayer. Is that something that has always been a big part since the very beginning, or
no,
what would you say?
It's something which has grown over the years. When I became a Christian at 12, and it was then mainly focused on myself, and then gradually over the years, when I've had struggles and challenges of my own, I've been blessed by and the encouragement with other people praying for me. And that has helped me. I just want to pray for others. And sometimes I would pray for a particular person or people who've shared their needs with me, or I felt compelled to pray for a particular person. So, and when I'm having my quiet time, a name would come up and I would sort of pray for that person, so like that. So while I'm doing the cooking and the cleaning and the hoovering, I would just pray for people.
Okay. So that's something that has grown and something that you've been encouraged because of the prayers of others,
yes,
as well. So I was saying, for me with the phone, it's helpful because it's kind of record there, things to remember and to see answers for prayer. What about you?
For me, I write it down.
Old school.
In my prayer diary, and I've got a journal, and I write down, and I have specific people's names or anyone. And when there's an answer, I always say, praise God, and answered, and the date is there written, so I can always refer to it, yes.
Okay, thanks, that's helpful, just a simple illustration, thanks very much. So we're called to look out to the needs of others, and also to look out to our community. We should be praying for God at work in our community. For example, for the parish church as they look for a new minister, it's so key, not just for them, but for the impact that they can have for good in so many lives. It's significant for us as a church, significant for people in their church and for those that they are working with. We should be praying for those who are lost and struggling to find faith. And I believe the timing of the talk this week, again, is not coincidental. As we have this joint prayer cafe with the parish church on Tuesday night, the last time we had it, we said to them, we have tea and coffee from 7:15, and we start at 7:30. And they all pitched up at 7:15, and there was no one from church here, apart from somebody serving the tea and coffee. Thankfully, we did turn up at 7:30 or 7:29. So let me encourage you to come, have tea and coffee, as if you can even make that. It's for 1 hour this week, and I believe it's a really significant time as we come together to pray for our community and for our world and for each other. And it has eternal significance in the kingdom of God. Perhaps if you've got kids, that means making the sacrifice to allow one of you to come out to invest in this. If you're a younger person, it's for you as well. As we heard, it's not for old people like Clive and people like that. But what a blessing, swiftly moving on, no heckling. What a blessing, as I said, an encouragement to hear our young people praying. So please come and join us on Tuesday night for 1 hour and to make a difference in this community and in our world. Such a time of blessing. Every time we have the prayer cafe, I think it is a great time. And I don't want to miss out on it. And I'm convinced that it's God's desire for his people to do this. It seems pretty obvious that when we look at core values, that prayer is going to be a church core value. It's not rocket salad. But when we looked at this years ago, we had to say, is it an evidenced core value? Do we see prayer happening? And we had to be honest and say, it's really not happening as much as it should be in the life of the church. And so changes had to be made so that we would be praying, so that we would pray before the cafe, and we would pray for Dynamite and for toddlers, and the band pray every week before they start, and we pray for the speaker and the chairperson and the creche come and join us for that just before the service, pop in for even a couple of minutes. We pray in the home groups, we pray in the youth group, and so prayer is now much more evidenced in the life of the church, but we'd love to see more people entering into that and seeing the importance and priority that we need to make for prayer, and also in our own lives, as we heard helpfully from Kirsty earlier on. Next, we need to look out to the world. Just as God's word was encouraging us to be thankful at all times, I believe God wants us to be concerned to what is happening in the world at all times, and to bring these concerns to Him. I know people that say, I don't even watch the news anymore. I don't read the papers. It's too depressing. And it is pretty depressing. But we mustn't give up. We should be the ones who stand in the gap. We are the ones who can use the information to pray. And that's why we should be reading newspapers. They still exist for some of you young people. There are such things. We should be watching the news on TV, not giving up on our government and all the carry-on that's going there. This is information for us, and books like this can give us information on our brothers and sisters around the world, Christians who are suffering in persecution. We hear about disasters and wars, those who are struggling with addiction and caught up in violence, and our political leaders. After the walls of Jerusalem are rebuilt by Nehemiah, he gathered the people together under the word of God and to pray together. And that makes a difference. In the Bible, we read about it happening in many situations. And in modern times too, when a nation comes before God, He moves in a powerful way. There's an amazing story told about the Dunkirk landings, which I'd never heard before. I knew some of it, and I've seen the film. The film didn't mention this key part. The Allies were trapped on the coast with their backs to the sea, and the Nazi forces were close, and they planned to annihilate them. British generals anticipated the loss of over 300,000 men in a terrible slaughter. And what to do? There was nothing, humanly speaking, that could be done. And so King George VI called the people of Britain to a day of prayer. And this is a picture of the queue outside one of the cathedrals as massive crowds gathered in a somber mood to pray. Churchill, it was said, hoped they might be able to save up to 30,000 men. And on the day after the British boats arrived in France, an unexpected storm blew up that meant that the German Air Force couldn't fly. And for some inexplicable reason, Hitler ordered his army to halt for 3 days. His generals were furious and wanted to proceed. But over those 3 days, that allowed the evacuation to take place. And then when the boats set sail the next day, the waters were completely calm, which allowed these packed boats safe passage back to England. And over 338,000 lives were saved. And a few days later, a Thanksgiving Day of Prayer was called for this event, which altered the course of the war. That's something that happened not so long ago. I was just as encouraged to read this week that the governor of Tennessee has called for a day of prayer on October the 10th for their state. He said, prayer strengthens our family, our communities, our neighbors, and our relationship with God Himself. And we look at our country and we see it's in a bad way and it seems hopeless. Our country is not a state, but it's in a state. It needs prayer more than ever. And every one of us can play a part and make a difference. I wonder if you have an outward look in life. Unless we consciously make that decision, we'll just go back to default and think about ourselves and our own little worlds. The upward look to God is the most important. But I would argue that from there comes the outward look, which is the next important, which mirrors the biblical principle of putting God first, and then others, and then ourselves last. So let us be people who look out, to take the time to consider and to pray for the needs of others. That we would be people who look out to our community and pray for His will to be done. Who look out to our world to see it transformed by the power of prayer. What a privilege we have to be a part of God's purposes for us in this world. We can all make a difference. I believe God wants to remind us of these simple things. Very little of what you've heard will be new to you. But we need reminded of how God wants us to be praying people, intercessing for the needs of others. The prayer team are also going to be at the front, but it goes a bit beyond that, because if you'd like to speak to Clive or myself or someone beside you who's a Christian to pray for you, please take that time, or Clive and I can arrange to meet up if you want to talk any further about these things. Perhaps you want to recognize that you have stopped looking outwards and you want to start making the right choice and looking out for each other and for our community and for our world. So let us be praying people. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for the reminders from your word of the importance of praying for the needs of others. Forgive us when we are selfish, when we're so busy that we never even think of others. Help us to walk in your ways. Help us to pray for those around us in the workplace and in school, to pray for those who don't yet know you in anticipation of them coming to faith. Thank you that you can make a difference. We commit ourselves again to you in Jesus' name. Amen.